Morning, everyone. Let's just begin with a word of prayer. Father, we just thank you for this morning. We just thank you that we come together and just begin the day with the reading of your word. Father, we just thank you so much for the wonderful retreat that we had last weekend. We just thank you for your faithfulness and your mercy to our community. Father, I just pray that as we share your word, we read your word this morning, that I'll be able to share not just your word, but also your heart this morning. We just thank you. We love you. We pray all things in Jesus' name. Amen. So good morning, everyone. We'll be reading from Psalm 133 this morning. That's Psalm 133. So I'll be reading from the ESV version. When brothers dwell in unity, a song of ascents of David. Behold, how great and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore. So I hope everyone who was able to attend the retreat last weekend had a really wonderful time. It was such a blessing to have Pastor Jackie, Pastor Colin speak to us during this time. I for one was really blessed by all the messages that they shared. But perhaps what was actually even more encouraging and even a greater blessing to me personally was to be able to be among a community of believers who are able to commit themselves to spend a weekend away just focusing on God and just in fellowship with one another to fellowship and to worship God. There was a photo that was shared right after the retreat among one of my WhatsApp groups, and the photo was actually of Sunday worship during family worship, and the photo was a shot taken from the stage, and you could see Pastor Nate like leading worship, but also all the members standing in front of the stage, hands lifted high, all the kids there, all worshiping God. And the caption to that photo was "A bit of heaven on earth." And as I've been reflecting upon the retreat, I think that photo and the caption probably best captured how blessed I felt, hopefully you felt during the retreat, and how thankful I am to God for his faithfulness to our community. So this morning, I just wanted to share a very simple message on celebrating unity. So through Psalm 133, we're going to reflect a little bit about how why we should be striving for and how we should celebrate unity. So before we get into it, just really, quickly, is that there's good unity and there's bad unity. And that, as we can tell, like not all unity is necessarily good. So, for example, a biblical example is the Tower of Babel. The people were unified for the purpose of making a name for themselves. So, in that case, that's not a good unity. They're unified for an evil intent. And if you look at, just our day to day, I don't know how many of you are football fans, but for those of you who follow the Spanish league, Barcelona just won the league a few days ago, but when they won it, they were actually at a guest stadium, and basically the local fans weren't too happy that Barcelona won, and they all like rushed the pitch. So football hooligans, not a good thing, bad unity. But what is an example of good unity? So in Acts 2, all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. So the type of unity that is good, that we should be celebrating, is as Pastor John Piper said, it is one which is spirit rooted, Christ manifesting, truth cherishing, humbly loving unity, with the aim of witnessing to the world and acclaiming the glory of God. So let me just repeat that one more time. It is one that's spirit rooted, Christ manifesting, truth cherishing, and humbly loving unity, with the aim of witnessing to the world and acclaiming the glory of God. So this leads us to our passage this morning, which is Psalm 133. The psalm, as we read, is very short. It's actually one of, I think, the four shortest psalms in the entire Bible, and it's attributed to David. So it's not entirely clear when this psalm was written. Different scholars will have slightly different opinions on when this was done. But it seems like most people think this is when David was finally made king, and there was union among the tribes after a period of division and discord. This would probably explain why you could feel David's joy in the first verse of the psalm. And it says, "Behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity." Now, we usually see the word "behold" in the context of seeing or observing someone or something that's especially remarkable and impressive. So, for example, "Oh, behold, there's King Charles." In this case, David is saying, "Behold," to the fact that the people are united, that the unity of the peoples is in itself remarkable and impressive. It's perhaps especially impactful to David as he's been through a season where people were not aligned, where people spent their energy and efforts quarreling and fighting with each other. So he recognizes that this is an achievement in itself and something that should be celebrated. David also says that unity is both good and pleasant. It's good because it reflects God's heart and purpose of unity among people. And it's pleasant because when people have unity, then life is much more enjoyable or pleasant than when people are in dispute with each other. I think a lot of us instinctively know this, that it is good to be aligned, that it's better to have unity of any sorts than better than to have conflict. So parents with more than one kid, you'll know that when your kids are playing together well, it's always better than when they're fighting. And in the workplace situation, it's always better when the whole team is aligned, when all your colleagues are all on the same page, willing to work for like the same goal and the same aim, rather than dealing with infighting, politics, etc. And the same for social groups, for churches. You know, there's always more growth when people are unified towards a single goal, a single aim. Further down the psalm, we see that how this goodness and pleasantness is illustrated in two ways. The first instance you see in the second verse, it is like the precious oil on the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes. Now, we know that oil is usually used by the priests, in this case, Aaron, the high priest, to consecrate themselves before they minister to God. I think David evokes the idea that not only is unity something that is holy and almost necessary to come before God, just like holy oil is used for consecration, unity also leads to an overflow and an abundance of anointing and blessing, as we see that the oil is described as running not just, you know, down his head, but also to his beard and to his robes. The second instance of how this is illustrated is verse 3, the first part. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. Now, reading up on Mount Hermon, it's the tallest mountain in Israel. And what's unique about this mountain is that it's almost always snow-capped, okay? It's always snow-capped, and there's almost always dew on the lower regions of this mountain. So that I read somewhere that even if you were setting up tent in dry weather in the lower parts of this mountain, over time, the tent will become so wet as if it was raining all night. And so for those of you who, had a chance to go to Israel, you would also know that large parts of Israel, it's very dry, it's very hot. So the thought of dew falling from Mount Hermon to Mount Zion, to the mountains of Zion, you can imagine that David's trying to say that unity is so refreshing in hot and arid climates. It's so refreshing, and it brings about life from the heavens to the people of Israel. The psalm wraps up in the second half of verse 3 and says, "For there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore." The blessing of unity is a command of God. Because it says, "For the Lord has commanded the blessing." So the blessing of unity is a command of God. And think about it this way. As followers of Christ, we have the assurance of eternal life. And in this eternity in heaven, what will we be doing? We'll be in fellowship with other brothers and sisters worshiping God. And if that's what we're going to be experiencing in eternity, shouldn't we also be practicing it now? And the Lord's Prayer, it does say, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," which is why it's important to strive for unity while we're here also on earth. So we learn from the psalm that unity is something that's important, it's holy, it's life-giving, and should be cherished. And before we wrap up and go into worship this morning, I also wanted to share three kind of final thoughts on why unity should be celebrated. Firstly, it's the heavenly model. It's the heavenly model. We have a model of perfect unity in heaven in the form of the Trinity between Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. You don't see any discord in the Trinity. Deuteronomy 6:4 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." In John 17:21, it says, "That they," meaning us, "may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me." These God's model is of perfect unity. This is also what we should be striving for, so that we can also be in unity with God. Secondly, it's not easy. It's not easy. Unity is not always easy because of sin. We have our own ego, we have pride that creeps in, and that can really easily destroy the unity among brothers and sisters. There's a quote from Pastor John MacArthur which says, "Discord strikes a deadly blow at the work of God in the church. Chaos, confusion, strife, envy, jealousy, anger, bitterness, dissension, fighting, hatred, indifference to the need of others, selfishness, a lack of sacrificial love. All of these things violate the unity of the church, and therefore they violate the will of God and they cripple his testimony in the world." Since the last retreat in 2019, we as a community have also gone through seasons where unity and fellowship was hard. Whether it was due to COVID or the struggles that our body went through during the past few years, we know that unity was hard to do. But by God's mercy, when we are able to get through the hard times and be united in our worship towards God, it is something that should be celebrated. And thirdly and finally, it's a testimony to God's goodness and glorifies it. Okay. Third thing is unity is a testimony to God's goodness and it glorifies him. John 13, 34 through 35. "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You are also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." And also the verse we read earlier, John 17:21, "That they may all be one, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me." It's crazy to think that Jesus is staking the validity of ministry based on the unity of his people. When we, as brothers and sisters, do not love one another, when we are selfish, it's not a good representation or example to those who do not yet know Jesus. But in times when we are able to be united, even when times are tough, that's when it's a shining light to the world and a testimony to the reality and goodness of God. So as I invite Sterling to prepare for worship this morning, I just want to read from Acts 5:12. Now, many signs and wonders were regularly done among the people by the hands of the apostles, and they were all together in Solomon's portico. As I'm sure you're aware, this is where our church's name is from. I once came across a devotional by a pastor on this particular passage. In his sharing, and I'm paraphrasing here, he said that the miracle was not just that there were signs and wonders done by the apostles, but that the miracle was also that they were all together in Solomon's porch. Unity among the people is in itself a miracle. As we go into the time of worship, let's spend time praising God that we were able to come together as a community to celebrate Him during the retreat. But let's also pray that this is something that we'll continue to work for, that we'll continue to strive for going forwards. So let's have a time of worship. Thank you, Sterling. Let's go to a time of our community prayer. So let's lift up all our brothers and sisters and our family members dealing with cancer. Just pray for God's healing upon them and for God's presence to be among not just the people suffering themselves, but also the family members who are taking care of them. Pray for families and friends who are dealing with various illnesses, but also need Holy Spirit to touch them in their lives. So let's lift them up. Let's lift up brothers and sisters who are dealing with various ailments. Let's just pray for healing upon them. Lift up brothers and sisters who are looking for work. Let's just pray for God to open the right doors for them in this season. Turn to our mission focus. Let's lift up Cambodia, Oasis House, Pastor Jenny O. Let's pray for North Korea for continued ministry opportunities there. Let's continue to pray for missional opportunities and partnerships throughout Asia. Let's also lift up all the persecuted churches, the Middle East classes and outreaches, and all the meetings. Let's lift up our weekend gatherings. Let's lift up Sunday service tomorrow. Let's lift up the well, SP Kids, the worship, hospitality, SP Youth, spin and spill service and activities, all the different classes and outreaches, and all the meetings this weekend. Let's lift them up. Let's lift up all our sisters who are pregnant right now. Let's just pray for protection over them, over the baby. Let's just pray also for, against any morning sickness, so they'll just have enjoy the rest of their pregnancy. And finally, let's lift up our house, the house churches that are meeting today. That's Bowen, Mawan, and Southside. Yeah, let's just pray for a blessing upon the house church, pray for anointing on the leaders, and pray that it will be a really good time for them to reflect upon the retreat, their experiences, and the messages. And let's pray for, just unity among their house churches as they worship God today. We'll just close this in prayer. Father, we just thank you again for this morning. We just thank you that your mercies are new every morning. Father, I just pray that we'll be a church that can glorify you, that is pleasing to you. We just pray for unity among the brothers and sisters of our community. And we just pray that, we'll continue to be unified in our love and worship for you. So, Father, I just pray for a blessing upon all my brothers and sisters this weekend. We just thank you for the privilege that we can come to worship you tomorrow at your house. And we just thank you. We love you. We thank you. We pray all things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, everyone, for joining. God bless.